So God calls Abram to uproot and go to an undisclosed place. In terms of our children's sermon, he didn't know the where. He had no idea. God just calls him to go. But as part of God's calling for Abram to go, God gives Abram a couple promises, actually a threefold promise. And in many ways, they act as incentives for him to go. The first of those promises we see in verse 2, that Abram is going to have a lot of descendants. God says, I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation. He's going to have a large family. He's going to be the patriarch of many people to come. The second promise that God gives Abram is that Abram's going to be blessed. He's going to be blessed. And at this time, he actually already is quite blessed. He's got a big household of people and property. God says, you will become famous and be a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you. I'll put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you. And so based on this, the fact that Abram has these promises from God, they enact faith in Abram. He gets up and he starts going. Without any real clear direction, by the way. He just goes because he's supposed to go. And on his way going, Abram receives another promise from the Lord. The way that Abram's going, by the way, is, if you can imagine Israel, modern-day Israel, on the east side of the Mediterranean Sea. That's right here, my hand, obviously. Abram starts out on the northeastern area around Babylon, and he kind of travels, and he's going to go all the way straight through south of Israel. And on his way through, God stops him, and he says to Abram, look at all this land. Here's the third part of the promise. You are going to have this land. And we see that in verse 7. The Lord appeared to Abram and promised, I will give this land to your family forever. And this causes Abram then to worship and to build an altar and to give sacrifice to the Lord. God's promises work faith in Abraham and this faith enacts Abram to trust the promise of God and to go based on these promises. And that's the sum of the passage we have today. But Abram's story really transpires through kind of the rest of Genesis indirectly, but up through chapter 37 at the very least. And if you were to go home and read from chapter 12 on, even through the rest of Genesis, what you would see is that there is a painful reality to living in this world. Because the fact is that God's promises that we receive from God don't remove us from the world that we live in. And this is shown in Abraham's life. God audibly speaks to Abram, gives him these promises, one of them being that I'm going to bless you. But Abram constantly struggles with doubt and fear because he lives in a world of pain, a world of sin, a world that is unknown. God promises Abram descendants, multiple people, a nation that later God will say, look at the sand on the shore, look at the stars in the sky, your descendants are going to be more numerous than both of them. Yet, just verses before our passage, Scripture tells us that his wife was barren, unable to have children. And at this point, Abram is already 75 years old, his wife about 65. God's promises don't remove us from the fact that we live in a broken world. And part of this brokenness, part of Abram's doubt and fear causes Abram to take matters into his own hands. His wife and Abram, they see that they can't have kids, yet they know that God has given them this promise, so they go and they, by a strange agreement, Abram has a son with his wife's maidservant. And this causes grief and trouble and family strife. It brings all sorts of pain. God also promised the land to Abram. But the painful reality is that Abram will actually never own any of it, except for a small plot in which he buries his wife, and later on he himself is buried in. In fact, if we were to read the next chapter, we'll see that Abraham just keeps traveling south through Israel. He doesn't even stay in the land that is promised to him. He goes to Egypt because the land that's promised to him is suffering under famine. He has no way to feed himself or his household. He has received promises from God, but God's promises don't necessarily remove us from living in a world of pain and sorrow. We too have received promises from God. When we were baptized and brought into the faith, we were called children of the Heavenly Father. You were sealed with the cross of Christ forever. You were called God's own chosen one. We saw that not long ago as we read through Ephesians, that you were predestined before time began to belong to our Heavenly Father. These are promises that Scripture gives to us, yet we still live with fear and doubt. We still live in a world that deals with famine, with hurricanes, with typhoons, with blizzards. We still live amongst family strife and pain. We live in a world that has disease, has sorrow, has war and violence and cruelty every which way you look. We have received God's promises, but it can be a painful world to live in even so. But we take consolation in God's story with Abraham. Because at every turn in this story of Abram, God is there. Even when Abram flounders and is doubting and messes up and makes mistakes and takes things into his own hands, God is there. He has a plan for him, and God will see it through. When Abram is 99 years old, when his wife is 90, the Lord miraculously gives them a son, the son of their promise. Sarah, his wife, can't even believe it. She hears the word of God and she laughs at God, saying, "You're going to have a child a year from now." She's 90 years old. She laughs, and understandably so. Who here is 90 years old and would like to have a baby in a year? Probably none of us. But God's got a sense of humor too. He hears her laugh and he says to Sarah, "Listen, you're going to name your son Isaac," which means laughter. That's good humor right there. In this land that Abram doesn't ever get to see fully as his, it becomes land that his sons and their sons become owners of, and it becomes the great nation of Israel, a land that we still recognize today as being the place, the Holy Land for Jews around the world. The Lord sees too through his promises in his good time. And the Lord does, in fact, bless Abram. And he does so with a purpose. Maybe you notice this, that God doesn't just choose to bless Abram for no reason at all. He blesses Abram so that he could be a blessing to others. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you. This blessing has come to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read to you from Galatians chapter 3, the letter of Paul to the people of Galatia, in which he says this: "All of you are God's children because of your faith in Christ Jesus. And when you were baptized, it was as though you had put on Christ in the same way you put on new clothes. Faith in Christ is what makes each of you equal with each other, whether Jew or Greek or slave or free person, man or woman. So if you belong to Christ, you are now part of Abraham's family, and you will be given what God has promised." Far beyond any knowledge that Abraham had, God gave him this promise that you would be a great nation. And God fulfilled that promise ultimately through his Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have faith. And by that faith, we are then part of Abraham's descendants in faith. And as part of that, we are blessed also with the inheritance that Abraham was promised, which ultimately is eternal life. That in Christ, we are God's children. We are chosen. We are promised the forgiveness of sins. And frankly, the reason we come to church on a regular basis, the reason we open our scriptures at home, the reason we might go to Bible studies or listen to faith radio, as we're driving, is to be constantly reminded, as we live in this painful world, of the promises that God has for us. And today we receive the physical reminder, a physical promise from the Lord in the Holy Supper. The body and blood of Christ given for you for the forgiveness of sins. We come to be reminded of what God has promised us. And remember those words that we hear that Jesus says to us, the very last verse of the Gospel of Matthew, where he gives us that beautiful promise, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the ages." We struggle to remember these promises, but they are God's word. And as we see throughout the narrative of the Old Testament, God always holds true to his word, even when we don't believe it. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, we give you thanks for this day you have blessed us with. We pray that you would continue to bless us. Hold us firm in your promises. Help us to stand firm upon them. When we are doubt, when we are fearful, when we are struggling, remind us always that you are there with us, even to the very end. Strengthen us by your words. Give us faith so as to act. We pray this in your name. Amen.